The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Amos. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, men of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. He was almost invisible. This rich man inside his house behind the gate hardly noticed him. That lump of clothing tossed like a pile of garbage outside his gate wasn't worth anything. The servants didn't notice either. They were busy about many things, too busy to notice. In fact, no one really saw him. Many people walked by, but they would step on the other side of the street or walk a little quicker, giving wide berth and not wanting to come in contact with this unclean being. You never know. Maybe he had something catchy. The law of Moses warned about coming in contact with the unclean. And so he was invisible. His only friends were the dogs who came and licked his sores, those dogs that beat him to the scraps that would fall from the rich man's table. We don't know what happened in this man's life to cause him to be in such a miserable state. Maybe he drank too much, lost his job, then lost his home. Maybe he got sick and couldn't afford health care. Maybe he was possessed by some other demon. Or maybe he'd just always been lost, spent his entire life calling out for aid. No one knows what caused him to end up outside that gate. But then, of course, nobody really cares either. Everyone just looked past him or through him. He was almost invisible. But of all of the characters in all of Jesus' stories, this is the only person that gets a name. Jesus told many stories, the man, the woman, the shepherd, the planter, the sower. This is the only person who gets a name, this invisible, ignored man. And Jesus gives him a name, the Greek name, Lazarus. It means God is my help. Jesus calls him the one whom God helps. And Lazarus, with his empty hands, sits waiting at the gate. On the first Friday of every month, a group of people from St. Peter's goes downtown. We meet about 8:30 in the morning down at First Lutheran and help serve the needy, the people who come to TACO, T-A-C-O, Third Avenue Charitable Organization. The people who come to TACO for food or for other kinds of services arrive around 9 o'clock. After a while of going there, you kind of start getting to know the regulars, those folks that are always in line. I see this woman every time I go. She told me she doesn't have a name. Her home is wherever she and her shopping cart happen to be. If you took time to notice, you would notice that both she and her shopping cart have seen better days. She's usually by herself, kind of stepping back from the others, but she is never quiet, mumbling all the time, singing quietly in her own head, carrying on conversations with an unseen entity, sometimes just weeping. But occasionally, the fog lifts a little bit, and she wonders aloud, "What am I doing here? Why don't I just go home?" But most of her days are spent in the blur of alcohol and memory loss and hunger. Most of the time, she is almost invisible. And Lazarus, with his empty hands, is waiting at the gate. One more story. He was an odd kid, the kind of child that just doesn't fit in. He always looked a little bit different, awkward, strange. He wasn't mean or stupid. He was just different. He had an annoying laugh, and he found the oddest things to be funny. He was the kind of boy who hated recess at school. Each day, that noontime recess killed him a little bit more. While the other fourth and fifth graders would run off to the field to play whatever game happened to be the game of the day, he hung back. He knew that no captain would choose him. The other kids weren't openly cruel to him. They have playground monitors to make sure that bullying doesn't happen. The other kids really didn't care enough to be mean. He was simply ignored. And in the complicated world of elementary school recess, being ignored is the deepest hurt of all. Even the playground monitors ignored him. So every day at noon, on that safe and clean school playground, Lazarus, with his empty hands, is waiting at the gate. At the end of their respective lives, the rich man's hands are full, and Lazarus has empty hands. The rich man, clinging to his wealth, his power, his prosperity, has need of nothing. He was self-sufficient in every sense of the word. His hands were full. But the poor man's hands were empty. Lazarus had no house, no fine clothing, no food. He had need of everything, including the gifts that God would give. His hands were opened wide, and he received the gift of grace. We have this choice too. We can come clinging to all of our worldly stuff, our keys, our credit cards, our degrees, our titles. We can come with full hands, or we can come with empty hands, asking for God's help, for God's grace. Think of that as you come forward for communion today. If your hands are already full, there is no place to put God's gift. But if you come empty-handed with humility and need, God will place in your hands healing, hope. God will place in your hands life itself, the very life of Jesus Christ. Maybe Jesus told this story about the great chasm between the rich and the poor, the visible and the invisible, to remind us that this dividing line is not what God desires. Maybe Jesus is reminding us to live with open hands, to see that everything, our lives, our skills, our food, our ability, our faith, everything is simply a gift. And because it is all a gift, the way we deal with Lazarus matters to God. The way we think about wealth and poverty matters to God. The way we handle material goods matters to God. The way we see God's beloved people matters to God. Lazarus at the gate, the nameless woman at Taco, the odd kid on the playground, the person sitting next to you this morning, the person who never thinks about coming to church on Sunday morning. These are the beloved people of God. And God knows each one by name. And God knows each one's needs. Even when they seem invisible to the rest of the world, God knows who and whose we are. The best thing about this parable is that it isn't finished. Well, for the rich man it is, but it's not finished for us because we are the five brothers who are in that story. Even though Father Abraham wouldn't let Lazarus go and tell the brothers, give them the warning, Jesus sneaked out that story. So we've been warned. We've heard it from Jesus. And now we have this story as well as Moses and the prophets. And we have someone who has risen from the dead to convince us that this is true. Now it just remains to be seen, what will we do about it? Lazarus, with his empty hands, is sitting by the gate.